Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we, of course, have been following very closely the FIFA World Cup. And in fact, I've loved the fact that this is a way to bring countries together. But of course, politics does get involved because major sporting events inevitably have a political element. So we wanted to understand how the U.S. government has used the World Cup. Has it been successful? Have they misstepped? Joining us is David Smith, the Washington correspondent of The Guardian. David Smith, a very good morning. Thanks for chatting to us. I hope you are well. So firstly,
yes, great to be here.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for joining us again. So I was just wondering in terms of how successful this has been for the United States. We spoke about it, I think it was probably about a week or two ago. Certainly at that point, it was quite positive. But obviously, as the stakes get higher, as the teams move towards the final, things can get a little bit stressful. How has it been playing out?
Yes, very well overall. I mean, I'll get the qualification, the asterisk out of the way, in that if you had asked me that question 48 hours ago, it would be, you know, a huge success. But there has been an issue in the last day or so with Donald Trump intervening. This was because for Lauren Balogun, an American striker, got sent off, and Trump objected to this when he discovered Balogun would actually be suspended for the following match, and so he called Gianni Infantino, the head of FIFA, and indeed a FIFA committee then overturned the suspension, and Balogun was able to play against Belgium. And this has certainly caused a bit of uproar. UEFA, the governing body in Europe for soccer, objected to it. So did many others. Even some Americans said, you know, we're grateful to have this player, but this is the wrong way to do it. You know, the rules should be the rules. And of course, it did not work out because the US actually lost that match anyway, 4-1 to Belgium. And perhaps the Belgians were fired up by this sense of injustice. That was a shame because up until then, Donald Trump had steered well clear, and the tournament was going along very nicely without him. And overall, I think long after this incident is forgotten, there will be a glow around this this World Cup. It has been very successful, and every stadium seems pretty full. Certainly tickets expensive, but somebody somewhere is willing to pay for those. The atmosphere has been absolutely fantastic, just electric, in the stadiums, in the fan parks. And it's been remarkable to see on social media these people from around the world, you know, falling in love with America, saying, you know, we love the food, we love the refills of our drinks, we love the gas stations, discovering it all anew. So in terms of soft power, I think it's been a big win for the US. And I know there's one politician saying, you know, the World Cup is the medicine we didn't know we needed after months, if not years, of political strife.
Yeah, and this whole idea that that maybe there's a little bit more nuance to the United States as there is to every country, but the way in which unfortunately social media and media are reporting situations and events around the world, we kind of lose that nuance. We of course don't. It may be. I love that that gas station comment because, in a way, that's a brilliant metaphor for what we don't see in other countries. We don't see how people fill up their cars with petrol or with gas. And maybe that's what is missing in our reporting and in the way we talk about countries. We tend to see things as so one-dimensional.
Yeah, you inevitably just get a snapshot of any country, and I find that as well when I travel other parts of the world. I thought I knew it from the news, but actually, obviously, there are multitudes. There's so much complexity everywhere, and I think one foreign diplomat said, "This is wonderful. We're discovering America not through its political leaders, but through Americans themselves." And it's quite an uplifting story for them. And there's a recent newspaper column quoted, a German tourist, for example, saying he'd got a lot of negative views about the Americans in the last 5 years, but the people are amazing, so welcoming. The culture is amazing. It also quoted a young Englishman in his 30s who said, quote, "The media portrays Americans as rude, lazy, all of the above, and it's further from the truth. The amount of hospitality and kindness and pride Americans hold is truly like no other country I've been to." And another, a South African man was quoted as saying, "I'm in awe of the United States." And this just goes on. There's a lot of people who've had a very pleasant surprise coming to the US, because what makes the news, of course, is the gun violence and the economic division and all the political strife around Donald Trump and the January 6th insurrection. But this is a massive country with still a lot to celebrate.
It's so interesting that, because I wonder if, and I'd love your thoughts on it, do you think that this could, recognition of this, could that lead to a different style of maybe not reporting, but of information flow? Or do we just simply go back, 2 months after the World Cup, do we go back to reporting the way we always have?
I'd like to be optimistic, but I suspect it'll be mostly done in the old style. And, there are journalistic imperatives, there are incentives for that, in that, when a plane takes off and lands successfully, that is not news. And it happens all the time, every day. When a plane takes off and crashes, that's a big story, and we cover it. And the church service that is tragically hit by gun violence is going to be the one that gets coverage, rather than the thousands of church services just proceeding normally. But even so, I think there is a lesson in there about providing more rounded coverage, talking about the brilliant young internet entrepreneur who's invented something, or the great art exhibition
that
celebrates a thing. And I used to have exactly the same debate with my editors when I was reporting on South Africa. Don't just give us crime and violence and inequality, but talk about all the great things to celebrate.
It's so true. Do you think the fact that it was the United States' 250th birthday over the weekend, did that also add to this flavor?
Yeah, it really has been a remarkable summer here. I was covering a few events last week for the 250th anniversary, including at the weekend in Washington. There was a Donald Trump speech, and then what was billed as the biggest fireworks display ever seen.
We'll have to await
Guinness World Records to check that, of course.
Yes.
It actually all became quite chaotic. There was a sort of thunderstorm, and everyone had to evacuate the site and then come back, and Trump spoke just before midnight. What I've heard a lot of people observe is that the official commemoration of America's 250th birthday was one thing, and actually a little bit anticlimactic and somewhat taken over by Trump to its detriment. And that actually drove people away. They felt it was too politicized. For example, there's a great American state fair that was a little sad with not huge numbers of people. Whereas, in fact, much more sort of organically and spontaneously, the World Cup perhaps became the true celebration of America at this moment.
And it's so interesting, David, because if I can make an observation, I've spoken to you a number of times, and the the positivity and enthusiasm that I hear from you is so interesting, because it is reflective of, as you said, a great summer where just for a little bit, even though of course politics continues and the difficult stories continue, but it also just allowed, it sounds like it allowed you and everybody else there, whoever, you know, obviously got involved in it, just a little bit of a reprieve.
Yes, I think so. Some balm on the wound, if you like.
Exactly. And, it's so interesting to hear, and it's so good to hear, actually.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because within the US there are huge political divisions, and it's very rancorous, and somehow everything becomes politicized. Whether it's what TV show you're watching, or Christmas, or you name it, but somehow sports, and especially football, does seem to transcend that, and united the whole nation, not only watching the American team but getting involved in the event altogether. And you could take that one step further and say on the global stage as well, the World Cup brings together countries who have nothing in common, who in other circumstances might be at loggerheads, but they all have to abide by the same rules of this sporting contest.
Absolutely.
And it's very easy for everyone to understand. It doesn't matter what language you speak. This is the magic of football. And even though it has FIFA with its alleged corruption and the greed and the politics of Trump, somehow the sport is very resilient and survived. And it's in a very divided world, and some would argue, social media has made us even more divided and atomized. This is one of those very few things that actually is a common language that everybody understands and transcends national boundaries.
Absolutely, and that is where we leave it. David Smith, thank you as always, and thank you for sharing all of this with us.